magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends Eli, Jerry, and Mike most of the time. Come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Here we go. Hey guys, what's up? You're listening to the Touch Arcade Show's episode number 380, recording on Friday, December 14th, 2018. This is our second to last podcast before the iTunes freeze.
Oh.
So we should have, next week we should probably have all the best games ready to talk about, Game of the Year pick done and all that stuff, right? To publish on the
20th. Yeah, it's what, the 23rd?
4th.
So that's coming. That's
so Friday. Friday lands on the 21st, and I would really like to record the podcast on the 20th because I have family coming into town on the 21st, and getting people to shut the fuck up is very difficult, particularly for an hour in a house with two dogs. So anyway, that, and the weekend is 22nd, 23rd is when the iTunes freeze begins, and it goes through that week. Monday's Christmas Eve, Tuesday's Christmas, and
where does the time go?
Yeah, I don't know. It's wild how fast this year has gone, but I guess that's what it's like getting old. So this is the first time you've downloaded this podcast. Thanks a ton. Welcome to the Touch Arcade family. Hope you enjoy listening. Touch Arcade is more than just a podcast, so we are also a website, which you can find at toucharcade.com. We've got a Twitch channel at twitch.tv/TouchArcade. Basically everything /TouchArcade we have that you might care about.
eHarmony?
I don't know how the eHarmony URL structure works, but we should probably get that on lock if that's how it is. Got a really cool Discord that you should come hang out in if you care about iOS gaming. It's discord.gg/TouchArcade. I actually reached out to the people from the mods from the r/iOS gaming subreddit. This like really weird thing go down a couple weeks ago where they like posted this thread asking like, hey, would you guys like a Discord? And like overwhelming people were like, yeah, that'd be great. And then like the day later, they're like, yeah, we're not going to do it. So I reached out to them. And I was like, dude, if you just want to like channel people to our Discord, like, I don't care. Like, I'll give you guys mod status or whatever the hell you need to like feel good about that. And it seems weird to split communities when it's probably going to be the same people in both of them. So
it'd be nice to have a official place to discuss the criminal charges that should be brought upon anyone that has in-app purchases.
It's a real thing that got posted, by the way. We are primarily supported by Patreon. You should find it at patreon.com/TouchArcade. If you back us on Patreon, you get a video version of this podcast. If you do shopping on Amazon, we'd really appreciate it if you do it through toucharcade.com/Amazon. And with that, I think I've said everything that needs to be said. I don't know.
Said.
What's going on in Jared Land this week?
Well, on Black Friday, I took advantage of the deals and bought a Ring doorbell.
Oh yeah, how do you like it?
I love it. It's already saved me a few Amazon deliveries where they never ring the bell, and as a bonus, I get a little video clip of them just tossing the package haphazardly onto my porch.
Did you see the one that I posted on Instagram a few days ago from my video camera thing? No. The fucking FedEx dude like backs up into my driveway. That's interesting. Jumps out of his truck and like ninja stars the package like at my door.
No way. That's amazing.
I was just like, what's going on?
Yeah, it's been fun, but it's also I've come to find that now I'm like hyper interested in every little buzz on my watch or my phone for any little alert, because it'll let you know if there's motion at your front door. And I actually had an instance where I was at my parents' house a few nights ago and got a thing that was like motion at your door. And I go and I check the video, and it was some weirdo that walked up to my porch, instantly saw the camera, and then like turned around and walked away. But you can't really see where he walks away to. Like, did he walk around in my backyard or something weird? And so it sort of like left me feeling uneasy until I got home and could check things out. And so now I'm just like constantly waiting for like a weird Ring doorbell alert of something bad.
Well, so they actually have an app. It's called Neighbors.
Yes.
And have you fiddled with this? You can for instance, you could have like submitted that video as like, hey, mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on. This like weirdo is like looking around our yard and stuff.
Yeah.
So someone told me about this and I was like, oh, that sounds really interesting. I'd love to check it out. But like my area is like nothing but like, if like a non-white person comes to your door, like people submit that video being like, what's this dude doing around here? It's like every racist person in the Chicago area just like posted this horrible stuff.
It's worse than Nextdoor because the Ring one is super anonymous and you don't even have to have a Ring to be part of it. And so people just go in and just say the worst shit and they moderate them eventually, but like there's just no filter for what gets through.
Yeah, like
it's a good place to troll, I guess.
I'm looking at mine right now and like it's all like the super racist dog whistle words like,
yeah.
Anyone know who this thug is at my door? And it's like some guy with a clipboard, like,
yeah,
you know, probably just gonna pester you for something, but geez, I don't know.
So, but anyway, yeah. I don't know how I feel about having direct video access to my front door. It just makes me more paranoid about something happening.
We are in the Kuna ecosystem, Kuna, if anyone wants to look it up. So the reason I got into this is because I don't have a great way to mount the Ring doorbell because like I have this like really skinny door frame that like isn't a great place to put it. And then like my house just has like a flagstone surround around my mm-hmm. front door. And I was like, I could like figure out how to like drill into this rock or like, don't know. This seems dumb. So, instead I have this front light like you'd have, you know, next to your door, and that has a camera in it. And what I like about that is I feel like it's way more discreet. Like people don't realize that it's a camera, whereas I feel like people have gotten really wise to like what a Ring doorbell looks like.
Oh, totally.
And they have like an entire lineup of similar stuff. So I've got the light with the camera at the front door. And they also have a camera that you can hook into any light. And I have one of those like on the corner, opposite corner of my house, like looking at the driveway. And then in the back of my house, I've got two floodlights with cameras in them too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I can see all the way around my house, which is cool.
That's going to be my goal eventually, but it's also that shit's kind of expensive.
Well, the Kuna stuff is not super expensive because it's all 720p. Like it's not... Like what's crazy, I have friends that have like a whole setup with like the Nest cameras and stuff, and those things are like $300 a pop, but they're like 4K and do all this fancy stuff, and I'm just like, man, I just want to know if some weirdo is walking around my yard or like, you know, FedEx is ninja starring packages into my door and things like that. So the only time that the setup has like really saved my bacon, and this is, you know, this is a very first world problem, but like when my Apple Watch was delivered, for whatever reason, like it was one of those things, like it was like, you know, out for delivery. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to go grab lunch real quick. I'll be back in 5 minutes. Like, surely they're not going to come like between now and the time I can go through the McDonald's drive-through and come back. Right. And sure enough, as soon as I'm in the drive-through, like trapped in, like I get the notification on my phone, like, oh, someone's at your front door. And I was able to use like the voice comm stuff and like, oh my God, like, I'm so sorry. Like, just please leave it. I'm seriously 2 minutes away. Like, I know I'm supposed to sign for it. And the guy was like, all right. So that was kind of nice. But other than that, I don't know. It just makes my phone buzz all the time.
Right.
But anyway, you know, this is more than a smart devices podcast, although I feel like this kind of stuff is super relevant. Like if you're listening to this and you're looking for a good gift for someone, the Ring doorbell or like the Kuna setup I have. I mean, if you don't get the newest Ring doorbell, they're like $100 or something like that, right? Like it's not.
Yeah.
They're not super expensive.
That one's only 720p, which I don't think is that big a deal. But I think the bigger deal is it doesn't have a swappable battery. So you have to like take the whole thing down and charge it instead of mine's hardwired in. So the battery actually lasts for like a year or something. But
yeah.
If you don't have it hardwired in, then you rely only on batteries, which can, you know, lose their charge depending on how much you're using it and using the live views and stuff like that, anywhere between like a month and 6 months. So
yeah, it's a good gift though, if you, particularly if you have people in your family that like are always complaining about like solicitors and stuff like that. That's actually been like really nice to be able to be like, oh, someone's ringing the doorbell, who is it? And it's like some idiot with a clipboard, and I'm just like, nah, not interested, not even gonna bother. So yeah, check those out. There's a ton of options though. I don't even really know what the best one is anymore. It seems like most people have Ring because it's just a drop-in replacement for your doorbell.
But yeah,
I don't know. Anyway, in the world of iOS gaming, we'll kick things off with some interesting drama. So we post these Arena of Valor roundups every Friday, which is a pretty good way to keep track of what's going on in the world of Arena of Valor, which, I don't know, it seems like not many people are interested in Arena of Valor in the West, but I think it's a cool game, so whatever, I don't care. So it's interesting, like what's interesting to me is that MOBAs are notorious for having like unbelievably toxic communities. And I guess like, and I don't really follow the Arena of Valor community stuff at all, like the subreddit or anything like that. I just play the game, like, you know, when I'm bored and stuff. But anyway, I guess they're one of the more famous Arena of Valor American content creators. Well, I don't know if he's American, English market content creators, a dude named A Brown Bag, who I guess like took a hiatus because the community was so toxic he didn't want to be a part of it.
Wow.
So yeah, there's that. I don't know, I guess he's moving most of his content to Facebook, which seems interesting. Okay, I don't know if you can monetize video on Facebook at all. Like, I know YouTube monetization is really bad, but I don't think monetization exists on YouTube or in Facebook, unless I'm wrong.
I don't know.
Particularly for like a small content creator dude, you know, like non PewDiePie size. So I don't know. I just thought that was sort of interesting because you know, you never really hear about how toxic some of these game communities can be. Like, you know, like we're seeing right now with Fallout 76 and stuff, which.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. People get real, real, real mad about video games.
I don't see it a problem going away or getting better.
No.
I feel like it's just going to get worse.
I mean, it's one of those things, like, it's very easy to jump on an angry dog pile on the internet, it seems like. And, you know, we've seen firsthand with the stories that we've posted, this kind of links into stuff we got coming up. Like, if you can write something that, like, makes people angry, that's going to get read and shared like exponentially more times than an article that's like, hey, here's the very best video game we've played in the last 10 years. You should totally check this thing out because you've never heard of it. It's like, no one really cares about that. But if you can get it pissed off, it's like, oh, I can't believe this. I got to tell everyone and retweet this and everything else. So kind of interesting news from the Epic front. So, they're like really, really, really doubling down on all of the kind of like developer services stuff that they do. It's like they're taking the success of Fortnite and they've created the Epic Games Store, which I believe off the top of my head has an 88%, 88-12 split between Epic and the developers, which is like unheard of low compared to most platforms like the App Store, for instance, where it's like 70-30. So that's really neat that they're doing that, but they're also working on improving the Unreal Engine to include like all the cross-platform stuff that they've built with Fortnite, just kind of like, you know, baked into the tools that all developers inside of their ecosystem will have access to next year, which is really pretty neat because, you know, we're always talking about how this cross-platform stuff just like really needs to become the new normal. Right, like once you play a game like Fortnite or Hearthstone or any other game where you just have like a login and that login works on every platform the game's on, all your friends are the same from everywhere, and all your, you know, progress and unlocks and everything else are just there. It's real dumb to go back to something like, for instance, the new Call of Duty game that I kind of like stop playing because my friends were split between Xbox and PC, and I was in one of those situations where it's like, all right, well, do I want to buy the game twice? I mean, I really do like Call of Duty games, so I guess that's not like a huge deal, but It's just so dumb because the Battle Royale mode in the new Call of Duty game, like, the unlocks are hard. Like, yeah. You can, like, you know how when you play a Call of Duty deathmatch game, like particularly in the low levels, it's just like a fireworks show of unlocks and level ups and
right.
experience just blowing up in your face. Like, mm-hmm. no matter what you do, if you're like winning, losing, like, just playing gets you stuff. Whereas, like, the Battle Royale mode, like, you can play a series of games and do bad and just get nothing. Like, literally zero experience.
Ugh.
For like 20 minutes of gameplay. So like the progress not syncing, like, that was what broke me on that game. I was like, man, instead of buying this on two platforms and playing a ton of it, I'm just like kind of over it and I'm not gonna play it at all.
Right.
So it'll be really neat to have this normalized, I guess, next year. And from a mobile perspective, it's really good for us because you know, as we've seen, it's kind of in developers' best interest to just release shit everywhere, including mobile.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because, like, if Epic hadn't released Fortnite on mobile, they would have been leaving millions of dollars a day on the table. Yeah. Which, I mean, it's a weird example to use Fortnite, you know, because, you know, you can't really expect to attain that. But it still remains to be, you know, it remains to be said that, like, there's a lot of people with phones.
Yeah.
So there's that. Let's see. Did you know about Questlr 2, or is this just like something that got blown into my brain that I've been out the other side?
He's been working on it for like 4 or 5 years or something like that.
But so, the release date seemed like a surprise, right? Like, we didn't know.
I didn't know it was that close. I feel like I've been hearing it was coming soon for a really long time.
So if you missed the original Questlr, it came out in 2013, which makes it a pretty old game now. Actually, it's actually free to fiddle around with, and I don't really know how the pay model works now.
It does not work on iOS 11.
Is that why it's free?
It's 32-bit, but he's actually going to fix it up and re-release it after Questlr 2 comes out. So early next year, you should get the original one revamped, which will be nice.
Cool. Well, so we covered the original game absolute shitload when it first came out. We got a review of it. Sean did really an RPG good. Reload. You did a RPG Reload replay where, you know, encouraged people from the forums to go through. We even got like a tips article where the developer weighed in on like how to play the game the best way you can. And I think like what I liked about this one so much is that, so it's a first person turn-based retro RPG. Like, what are some of the other ones? Like, what's the Chillingo one?
The Quest is probably the biggest one, but then there's like drawing a blank. There's like half a dozen pretty good ones on mobile.
Well, so I never really was super able to get into those because they were just like so hardcore.
Yeah.
And just were kind of like intimidating to play. Because I don't know, and you know, this is just my take, you know. So I if you're more seasoned in these games, it'd probably sound like an idiot right now. But like, I always felt like some of the more hardcore ones like had a level of assumed knowledge, kind of like when you jump into like a collectible card game. You know, a lot of times like they assume that like you understand how like deck making works and all this other stuff. And I don't know. I, for whatever reason, I just never really played a whole lot of these games when I was younger, and they were, you know, like on the Commodore 64 or Apple II or whatever. So, like, jumping into the Quest was, I was like, whoa, this is too much for me. And I don't really know, like, what they did different in Questlr, but it just seemed like so much more, like, newbie friendly.
It is. It's a lot simpler. And it was easily beatable, too, like, in a normal amount of time instead of being, like, hundreds of hours whatever.
Yeah, because like the Quest games, like if you really got into the Quest and like all its different expansions, like you probably delete every other game on your phone and like only play that for
the rest of your life.
Yeah, a very 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 long time.
Yeah.
So not a ton of details specifically about what is going to be new and different with the sequel beyond it just seems like, you know, more of what we loved with, you know, modern touches and other things like that. So seems worth getting excited for.
Yes. Yeah. I think the first one was one of my favorites. I was sad that it got broken, but happy it'll come back and even happier for the sequel.
So it's hitting the App Store next week on the 18th. It'll be $7, which is kind of another surprise to me. Not only was that, because it seems like when you hear about a developer like working on a game for like 5 years, particularly in mobile, that kind of means that it's like never going to happen. Just because, like, particularly if it's like a premium game, because the market has shown that no one will spend money on a game, and you're not going to recoup 5 years of development costs. So, when this got announced as coming next week and for $7, I was like, "Ooh, that's surprising on both parts."
I wonder if it'll be like Steam and Switch and all that junk too.
Wouldn't
That
surprise
would
me.
probably make more sense to have a higher price on mobile or whatever.
The website for it, which I believe is just questlord2.com, the number 2.com, only has the badges for the App Store, Google Play, and Amazon App Store. So
Interesting.
I don't know. I almost wonder if it's a mistake pricing this at $7 as opposed to like 10 or more, because I feel like
Yeah.
the yeah, and we've mentioned this a bunch in the past, and like Slytherin kind of gets away with this because like the people that want to play a super hardcore like hex grid based game will spend
Yeah.
$20 on a
All
Slytherin game
right.
because there's
Yeah.
nothing else that comes close.
Yeah.
So do you think you could make a similar argument with Questlord 2?
Yeah, I think it has a built-in audience from the first game, and that this type of game is pretty niche as it is. So, those people are probably willing to pay more than your average, just like,
Although I guess
wants to play a new game person.
for the App Store, I guess that does mean about $7 is a higher premium price,
But
so
it's also one dude. So, that's all coming back to him at $7 a pop. That's not bad, as opposed to like splitting it between a team of 30 or something.
and your publisher and everyone else along the
Yeah.
way. So yeah, really, really cool game. If you want to look up any of the Quest Lord stuff on Touch Arcade, just pop Quest Lord into the search bar, and it was just a ton of stuff that we've mentioned. We mentioned the game a million times over the year, so this one's worth getting excited for. So you posted this. The mountain got a new update, which I don't know. Remember how controversial this game was when it first came out?
I did, and it was fun to relive by reading all of our old articles about it.
Yeah, so if you missed, if you don't know what we're talking about with Mountain, it's kind of like it just really doesn't do anything. It's like a art
It's,
game, kind of like how
yeah.
would you describe it? I don't even.
I mean, it's almost like a weird semi-interactive like screensaver or something. Like you don't have a whole lot of control over what happens in the game. It's sort of just this weird floating mountain that gets randomly generated. It's kind of like a virtual pet, I would say. It's like you can do some minor things to it. You can play with some like musical keyboard notes and figure out some weird hidden stuff to happen and things like that. But by and large, it's just something that sits there, and it's something that you can just like open and check in on from time to time. And different things will crash into your mountain. It'll slowly grow differently and stuff. And so it was a very weird experimental artsy sort of thing. And it made people really, really mad when it came out because it wasn't gamey enough. And I sort of recall like people wanting to like build a class action lawsuit or something because he charged 99 cents for it, and it was just this extreme ripoff
Yeah,
or whatever.
the response to
But
this was mind-blowing. I
it's
mean,
really funny because I think like on one hand, I think it's like a sort of social commentary thing on games and how it's like this really robust like mountain simulator, in terms of generating the terrain and stuff like that. And there's a lot of weird hidden things, and there actually is some weird depth to it. It's not like somebody just animated a mountain and farted it out there. Like this has some work put into it. But it also kind of seems like some commentary on how games are now.
oh,
And
I forgot we did a 24-hour live stream of this. I
yeah,
just
we
like
did.
loaded up the game and like plugged my iPad into the charger and just turned on Twitch and just streamed it for 24 hours.
Yeah, and you happen to catch one of the endings. I guess there's multiple endings or whatever. That's another funny thing is that there's endings to this. But I don't know. I would look at it as like a virtual pet or something like Godville that you just sort of check in on and don't do a lot of yourself. But I think it's an interesting thingy, and it's cool that he keeps updating it. It came out in 2013 or 14 or something like that, 2015. The years all blend together. But yeah, I thought it was cool. I got an update at least. And
God, I'm like the more we talk about it, the more I'm remembering the ridiculous drama surrounding this when it
well, there
was.
was like all it was weird because David O'Reilly's like a pretty well-known like filmmaker and stuff, and has done some pretty other things in other media that is really well known. And so him making a game was like enough of a big deal that like big game outlets covered this and stuff. And so, as opposed to like most mobile releases that just get, you know, ignored by everybody except mobile sites, everyone was talking about this. And then everyone, of course, had like some crazy editorial on how it's the most brilliant thing ever or how it's the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah.
And you should be mad at it or whatever.
Well, it was like everyone in the games journalism biz had like the opportunity to finally like make a commentary again as like video games is art.
Yeah.
You know, which like I don't know why people love doing that so much, but it's a hobby for some.
I don't know. I think it's a floating mountain and it's cool to look at sometimes, and that's as far as it goes with me.
Yeah. So Supercell's Brawl Stars is finally available globally right now, which it's cool. I don't know. It seems like the excitement surrounding this going global is nowhere near like the original soft launch.
I want to say that they blew it and not taken advantage of all the hype from last year or whatever when it soft launched.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I don't see anybody really talking about this now.
Yeah.
Or caring about it the way that it was like the biggest thing ever for a few months during the soft launch.
Yeah. I don't like, man, the soft launch period of this game was bananas. I mean, like we could post a story that was like the headline, a Brawl Stars pumpkin pie recipe. That's just like a copy and paste of a pumpkin pie recipe. And it would be our number one story for the day.
It's true.
Like that's how into this game people were when it soft launched. And like, it just seems like a colossal fuck up to not capitalize on that.
I mean, I feel like they should know better or would know based on all the analytics they must have if it's a smart thing or a not smart thing. But it could just be that I've never seen a soft launch be as popular as this one either, because not a lot of people either know what a soft launch even is or know that they can get a game from different app stores and things like that. And so, I feel like even soft launches are a lot smaller than, you know, a mainstream release.
Yeah.
And so the only thing I can think is that they built up such a loyal player base over the last year and a half of soft launch that they don't have to have it a massive influx of new players from everywhere.
Yes.
That they have a sustainable pool of players now as is. And so as long as they keep things going. But it does seem sort of weird to not, you know, take advantage of so much buzz that they had.
Well, it was weird. Like it seemed like and admittedly, I did not follow this game religiously after the buzz kind of dried out.
Right.
It was just kind of like I would check in on like what was going on the subreddit every now and again, like you know, and just kind of whenever I remembered it, I would be like, oh, what's going on with that? And it seemed like the game kind of like stagnated. Like they kind of didn't really. They kind of seemed like they stopped adding new stuff to it, and like a lot of the kind of like YouTube community and stuff sort of moved on.
Which I don't know.
Just because like and it seemed like there's just this general vibe of like, yeah, they're just gonna cancel this game, like I need to cut my losses and like go back to playing Clash Royale or whatever. And then it finally came out to not much fanfare, it seems like.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what it does from here on out, because obviously they have a pretty large reach with their other games, you know, cross promoting and stuff, and I don't know. Maybe they know what they're doing.
I would assume so, but like it just seems so strange. The way that they played their cards on this, because it almost seems like they gave everyone the opportunity that was even remotely interested in this to like figure out how to download it from Canada and get bored of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would like to see a parallel universe where like we had that like initial week of soft launch, like ultra excitement, and then they just like pulled the lever to release it everywhere.
Yeah, that would have made a lot more sense, I think. But
so, I don't know. But so, if you have never played Brawl Stars before, I do think it's worth checking out. So it's a 3-on-3 real time multiplayer sort of like ultra lightweight MOBA sort of experience where, you know, you got a bunch of different characters that you know, you can play as, that each kind of work a little bit differently and. You know, just trying to like capture points on a map, or you know, I think they added a bunch of different sort of game modes and map types and stuff like that since the soft launch. But I don't know, I went so nuts playing this game when it first came out that I was just kind of like, all right, well, I'm bored of this, and now that it's available worldwide, it's like I don't know, I got better stuff to do than.
I haven't dove into the global version yet, so it probably is pretty different from last year when we were playing it a bunch.
Yeah, potentially. I don't know. So let's see. You posted about Skullgirls. I can't believe they're like updating this game as much as they have been. So 3.0 yeah. just hit. What's new and exciting about this that people should care about?
Has a thing called Rift Battles, which is sort of a multiplayer component. From what they told me is they're still working. Their ultimate goal is having like a real-time multiplayer mode, which I think would be pretty crazy. But for now, you have this thing that's sort of a Clash of Clansy kind of mode where you fill out this sort of series of nodes that's known as your base, and you fill it out with like your best fighters. And then people can come and like fight against your fighters, and then you can go and fight against their base of fighters or whatever. Hmm. And then there's seasons that are like week long seasons. So at the end of each week, the season ends, and then, you know, wherever you're ranked or whatever, you get a bunch of prizes for that sort of stuff. And there's actually, this mode has its own new in-game currency too. So you can earn those special coins that you can buy special items in a shop and stuff like that. Basically just more stuff to do if you have beaten the crap out of all the story stuff and, you know, play the online like tournaments that go on like every couple days or whatever. If you've exhausted all of that, there's sort of like one more thing to do. And I think the thing with Skullgirls is like, there's such a collection aspect to it that you eventually get, you know, hundreds of different character cards
yeah.
that you're upgrading and collecting and stuff like that. And so it's just kind of one more thing to do with your fighters because you have such a huge pool of them, which I don't know. I think it's cool. You can kind of see how you stack up against other people too, which I think is
so neat. Do you actually fight the other players' characters, or is it like a stat battle sort of thing with your characters?
I don't know. I think when you fight somebody else's base, you go in and fight their character based on like a ghost AI or whatever. And then when people come and fight you, you just kind of get, they tell you the results or something like that. I haven't actually poked it into it myself too much, but
interesting.
It's pretty interesting. Cool. Sounds paper.
So Radiant Games is on just an absolute tear of releasing really, really, really good games, yeah. It would seem. And Speed Demons is another one that we're excited for. This is just going to hit the App Store, middle of January? Yeah, originally shooting for a release before Christmas, right?
Yeah. Yeah, this game looks rad. Basically, the whole gist of it, it's like a top-down sort of racing game based on, like, racing through traffic. And so the cool like twist here is that you can unlock basically every type of vehicle that's in the game, and each vehicle type has like its own sort of gameplay. So like if you unlock the muscle car, you'll enter into like actual races against other muscle cars and try to come in first or whatever. Then if you unlock the cop car, you're going to actually be chasing down bad guys and trying to run into them and, you know, stop them. And then so every vehicle has like its own sort of game style. And yeah, it just seems really cool. The physics and the like traffic AI and stuff like that all seems like it each game is sort of randomly generated or whatever. So it should sort of feel different each time you play. But I just kind of like the variety of which vehicle you're playing as kind of dictates what the game type is.
Yeah,
seems like it'll be like a bunch of different types of games in one. First and foremost, I think it looks like a top-down burnout is what I called it, because there's an emphasis on crashing into, you know, the other racers and taking them out and stuff. But it looks super cool.
Yeah, I don't know where this dude's finding the time to like make all these good games and release them so rapidly. I mean, like,
yeah,
I don't know what kind of monkey's paw he's working with, but like, it's pretty cool. And this is actually going to be $5
instead. Yeah. As far as we know, it's going to be a paid game. He actually wrote a blog post about his last two releases, Slydris and Pivotal, kind of like were his only real free-to-play games he's ever tried. And they were both varying levels of success and failure, depending on how you look at it. And so I think the bottom line for him, though, was that he just didn't like designing that sort of stuff, worrying about the monetization, worrying about in-app purchase stuff or ads or any of that junk. He just likes making the games. And so I feel like he likes personally just rather make a game and release it as premium and not have to worry about all that other crap, which I think, I mean, I get it. But I also know that premium games is kind of a harder hustle on the app store nowadays. So at least for rating games, I think he has a pretty good built-in audience that'll definitely throw $5 at something like this. but it's also, I don't think it's 100% set in stone whether it's going to definitely be paid or not. Like, I think it will be, but...
Yeah, I mean, the shitty part about his free games is that, like, you know, they're really good, and I feel like they would monetize well if he had, like, the downloads required to kind of, like, do that.
Which is hard for anybody to get nowadays unless you pay, you know, for user acquisition, or you're a huge company already with a huge library of games, like a Catch App or something. So, I don't know. I think... It sucks because I think he sees sort of what the revenue and sort of what's happened with the last free-to-play games he's released, and it's not enough to keep things going at the rate they went already.
Yeah.
And so releasing it paid, too, is sort of like a Hail Mary. If that doesn't also work out, then that's probably going to be it for making games for this guy.
Yeah, which sucks because dude makes really cool shit.
Yeah.
So we got a Feral has been teasing more and more video of Tropico, and this week we once again got a very, very, very in-depth look of the game running on a brand new iPad Pro, which looks pretty freaking rad. It's coming out on the App Store next week for $12. So if you're interested, I would check out the video. You can probably just search for Tropico on YouTube and find it, or I guess Tropico iPad or something along those lines.
It's like an hour long or something.
Yeah, it like digs. It's kind of shocking how much, like, I watched like the first 10 minutes and I was like, holy shit, this is an hour, and just kind of like skipped around.
Yeah.
And it's kind of unbelievable how many like subsystems and like weird little things you can do in this game and everything else. So I think if you are the kind of person that got like really jazzed for Civ 6 last year, I think you should probably be working towards getting real jazzed for Tropico, because this is another game that's going to soak up all of your time on your iPad.
Yeah.
And can be one of the only games on your iPad, I think. Like,
I have a friend who, like, it'll come to iPhone next year sometime.
Yeah. I have a friend who like exclusively uses his iPad for Civ 6 like for the last year. So like it's possible with these super hardcore strategy games that Feral's been working on. So excited to check that out 4 days from now. As of this recording, it'll be on the App Store. And I guess if you're not listening to this in real time, like, it might already be out by the time you're listening to this. So definitely spend that $12, because I think it'll be really cool, particularly if you have a new-ish iPad. So Super Faust, a game we love a lot. I gave a Game of the Year, what, like, was it 2 or 3 weeks ago, something like that?
Game of the Week.
Game of the Week, sorry.
I think it was 3 weeks ago
for Game of the Year, but
yeah, so I love this.
It's available on Android now. It's a really, really cool kind of like arcade. I don't know. It's like taking like a flappy style game, but like turning it into an actual game. I think is the best way you could describe Super Faust.
Yeah.
You know, free to check out. Nothing but good things to say about it. And now, if you're an Android person, you don't have to be mad because it's not on your phone anymore. So over the weekend, as part of the Kind of Funny post the Game Awards like reaction stream or something like that.
It was a Kind of Funny game showcase, which I imagine is something they had planned. I don't think it was meant to tie into the Game Awards in any way, but it did kind of seem crazy that there was the Game Awards, which had crazy announcements, and then this, like, a couple days later.
It kind of felt like the Game Awards, like, post-show to me.
Yeah.
In a weird way. You know, like, the show that's on after the football game?
Kinda. Yeah. But they announced 70 games during this little, like, two-hour stream or whatever it was. So that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
That's a lot of games to announce.
So from Noodlecake, they announced Motorball, which I think the best way to describe this is like a 2D top-down Rocket Arena.
Yeah.
Or wait, Rocket League, right?
Rocket League, yeah. No, it's exactly that, and it looks really fun.
Yeah, it looks really cool. I feel like they showed us this at GDC or like something else. Like, because I saw this trailer, I was like, oh, this game, you guys mm-hmm. are still working on this. And then there's also Super Stickman Golf Blitz, which seems like their trailer has no gameplay in it. But if I recall correctly from talking to them at GDC or whatever, it's just going to be like a ultra fast paced kind of race mode sort of thing.
Yeah. I couldn't believe that Super Stickman Golf 3 is the newest one, if you don't count Flappy Golf, in that series. And I could have swore it came out like last year. And I think it came out in 2014 or something crazy like that.
No, yeah. I remember the first one came out like back before like we really knew who the Noodle Cake guys were or whatever. I don't even remember. It was like one of our GDC party. I think it was the GDC party we did at like 511 Mina or whatever that thing was, where we had like, we decided to take sponsors and do a big dumb thing. And there was like a line outside to get in. And that was like the game of the line, whatever year that was, with like people buying it because other people were like playing it in line back in the day, where people would get fast and loose with their $3 on the App Store. So super excited for those. No details yet beyond like, you know, coming soon, which means next year at this point. So
probably
surprise
us next.
Noodle Cake makes good stuff. So if you're into PUBG Mobile, the new snow map, I guess, is starting beta testing, which seems cool, I guess. I don't know. I really fell out of this game in a big way, and I can't really articulate why. It just kind of like all of a sudden just got boring to me, which I think I went too hard on it. This was like my game for quite a while. They started adding all sorts of wacky junk, and I was just like, I don't care anymore. So December 20th is when this is going live. So they keep doing like all these like wacky shenanigans with this game, where they like will like leak the date, leak with, you know, like enormous air quotes.
Yeah.
Which seems really odd to keep, like, you know, like the first time they did it was like, oh, maybe this did leak, but this is like the second or third time they've air quote leaked something. So if you know, if the words Tales of Crestoria mean anything to you, you'll be happy to know that Bandai Namco is going to do a English release of this game, which to me looks like yet another anime gacha game that completely goes over my head.
I was so happy to see that somebody had already posted about this, because I saw the email and I was like, damn, I should probably write something about that. And I was like, oh, I have no idea anything about this. I don't even know where to begin. And it was like, oh, somebody else posted it for me. Cool. Yeah. I don't have to worry about it.
So I don't know anything about this, but there's definitely people out there that love these anime games. So hopefully that's good news to someone listening to this podcast.
Yes.
So last story I have on my list is probably the biggest bummer of the weekend. Potentially the biggest surprise of quite a while too.
Yeah.
So Epic just randomly announced on the 10th this week that the Infinity Blade trilogy is no longer available for sale on the App Store. I guess the good news is if you bought the game before, you'll still be able to download it through your previous purchases for the they say air quotes foreseeable future, which probably means until it just fucking breaks and requires an update or something like that. So according to Epic, the reason for their removal is, and I quote, "has become increasingly difficult for our team to support the Infinity Blade series at a level that meets our standards," which, I don't know. This whole thing is so disappointing. Like, I don't even, like, I saw the tweet come across, and like the story is actually, I don't know, you usually try to post stuff like this, like faster than this, but I was just like, had the headline written and was just like sitting there being like, God, what in the fuck is happening? Like, what am I even supposed to write about this? Because the Infinity Blade games, like, I don't know with 100% certainty, but I can say with like close to 99% certainty that every single one of them was featured in an Apple keynote or on a commercial something. And if,
and it was like the big splash landing of the Unreal Engine on mobile too, back when it was whatever that tech demo, the Citadel tech demo,
Epic Citadel
before the first Infinity Blade even launched, and it was like blowing people's minds that it's like Unreal Engine running on iPhone. And it just seems like such a weird thing. Like, I on the one hand I sort of understand what they're saying, where it's like sales wise and, you know, the amount of active users and stuff like that is probably not enough to keep having to maintain these apps or whatever. But on the other hand, I feel like you have a duty as somebody who released a groundbreaking sort of like defining game series like this to keep them going.
Yeah.
Even if the user base has dwindled or people, you know, the sales have dwindled or whatever. Not to mention the fact that you're gazillionaires from Fortnite now too. Not that Epic was really hurting before, but now when you throw Fortnite in the mix, you're like, a rounding error could probably keep a team of a few people together to update these things when they need it. And so it just seems really baffling to me to just yank them with zero warning whatsoever.
Yeah, that was the crazy part. Like I could see, I mean, it would still be pretty weird, but I could see a situation where they're like, you know, they release a thing where it's like, hey, you know, just so you know, like we're really going hard into like developer services stuff. We've got all this like Fortnite cross-platform stuff we're working on. We've got the Epic App Store and like, you know, the Infinity Blade series is just like something that we don't have, you know, that just isn't our focus right now. So, you know, we consider the games like end of life. They'll be removed from sale, you know, January 31st or whatever, right. January 30th or whatever. Yeah. You know, they're all on sale for $1 right now, or hell, make them free. I mean, if they're just going to pull them, like, and be like, you know, and so get them before they're gone. We're not going to update them anymore. So they'll work until they don't. And I feel like a lot of people would be like, oh man, well, that fucking sucks. But like, all right. Cause like what we've seen a lot, the reaction surrounding this is like, oh fuck. Like I've got like 1 and 2 and I always meant to play 3, but you know, I just never got it for whatever reason. And now I can't.
Yeah.
Which.
Yeah. It's dumb. And I don't know. Pretty bummed out about this. I feel like the Infinity Blade series is the go-to sort of like real game example for anybody that's like, you know, what's a good mobile game? It's like Infinity Blade is just any of them are really good.
Yeah, and, I mean that's kind of I mentioned that in the article. It's like, you know, like even the most like angry critics of mobile, you know, would concede that the Infinity Blade series are, you know, like at minimum pretty decent.
Yeah.
You know, which.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. And I feel like there's maybe more going on here than they're letting on right now. And a lot of people have been like, oh, well, they're going to release it on their own Epic Game Store that they just opened.
I mean, maybe, and, but that's not going
to
be.
But you can't really do that for iOS. So that would have to mean making it Android only or PC somehow or something.
Yeah.
But I could see them, the two things being related somehow. I'm just not quite sure how. Yet, or I feel like they've gotten enough of a backlash of people mad about this that maybe they'll find a way to resurrect it or release like a remastered trilogy, you know, package or something like that too down the road.
I don't know. It's so fucking crazy because I think you could make an argument that the App Store like never really had like its Mario. You know, like what would you? What would you say? I mean, I guess you could say like Angry Birds is kind of close.
Yeah.
Infinity Blade, the series is kind of close, but there's not like that, like, you know, like when you play a Nintendo system, it's like, oh, well, there's going to be a Mario game for this and whatever it is, I'll buy it because it's going to be good.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, mobile has never really had that beyond like these games that I feel like kind of get close to being that.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know, I was trying to think of a way to kind of like articulate this in the article about like how it almost feels like, you know, and this is, again, kind of a weird thing to even suggest because it would be really fucking weird for it to happen. But for like Nintendo to be like, yeah, you know, we're just like not doing Zelda anymore and going to remove the old Zelda games and, you know, we're just kind of over it because, you know, Super Smash Brothers is doing so well. So we're just focused on that now.
Yeah, it's so strange.
Yeah, I don't know. So I was super bummed out about this. Like, I have no idea what's going to happen. Like, I reached out to a couple different people at Epic being like, dude, come on. Like, you can't, like, this can't really be going away. And they're like, oh, all we can say is what's on the blog post. So, sorry.
I feel like there's got to be more happening or more to this story or something because there was, like, remember Infinity Blade 3 came out and you could like send away and have like your unique armors like 3D printed into little figures and stuff like that. And there was like the book series written around it and stuff. And it's like to just be like, all right, pull the plug. It just seems so strange.
I kind of, so one theory that I sort of have is like, I wonder if Epic isn't like kind of grooming the company to be in a position to like sell more of to Tencent or whatever. By like getting all these like things off their balance sheet that like, you know, are just kind of dingleberries that aren't making a ton of money and like, yeah, you're just kind of like out in the open that have staff that are working on them that, you know, are just kind of like non-necessary employees, I guess.
Yeah.
That maybe they're just kind of like trying to refine that to get their portfolio down to like, you know, we've got Fortnite, we've got the Epic Store, and that's us moving forward.
Right. Right.
So I don't know. It's weird because I've seen people mention that they've done like similar stuff with Unreal Tournament and things like that. And just like completely just being like, what's Unreal Tournament? I don't remember that game. What are you talking about? You know?
Yeah, like, that's true.
Which is weird too, because like Unreal Tournament was like the multiplayer explosion that, you know, made the Unreal Engine, at least in my opinion anyway, like a real alternative to you know, like the Quake engines and stuff like that back in the day. And it's really odd to just kind of like turn your back on the stuff that like made you what you are.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So I don't know. It's just kind of, I mean, like the biggest takeaway from this whole thing is like, you know, if the biggest game company on the world right now with like the biggest hit imaginable can't see there being logic in like maintaining a set of three incredibly popular, critically acclaimed games that have been like received every feature and honor that a mobile game can possibly get, like something seems super fucked with the entire App Store economy. So I don't know. I wish I had better things to say about that, but I don't know. It just seems like it's a really bad sign for, you know.
I think it, at the very least, for wholly original mobile releases like this, I think, you know, paid like cross-platform ports and stuff like that will probably continue being a thing or whatever. But I really doubt any company is going to be like, let's make this crazy full-blown original RPG for mobile. Because
that sells for money specifically. That sells for $10 or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. Well, that kind of like dovetails pretty nicely into the first game I have on my list to talk about, which is Tony Hawk's Skate Jam, which came out this week. Yeah, man, this fucking game, Jesus Christ. So Tony Hawk, so we've known about this game since October. It's really weird how this came about. Jared speculates this is planned promotion, but I think it's really, it would be weird. But so, the Instagram account that I follow, that's kind of just like, you know, one of those like weird Instagram meme account kind of things, called Fuck Advertisements, posted a screenshot of the first level of Tony Hawk Pro Skater, the warehouse. And I don't remember what the comment was with it, but it was like, hey, anyone remember this or something like that? And
yeah,
Tony Hawk himself responded and was like, oh, hell yeah, this game, I love this level. You know, wish I was working on more Tony Hawk stuff, but, you know, there's a new mobile game coming out really soon. Which, the weirdest way to possibly announce a game, I guess, but, you know, it is what it is. So, Tony Hawk's Skate Jam turned out to be the game that was released, and as we talked about, I don't know, was it last week, a week before, sometime between now and the game actually kind of getting more announced, when we found out it was being developed by that Maple Holding Company or whatever.
Yeah, we talked about it on the podcast last week, I think.
Yeah. So you, I believe, had kind of speculated that it was going to be a reskin of that Mike V's skateboard party, which turned out to be 10,000,000% true.
The funny thing is, like, I didn't necessarily think a reskin. I thought it was going to use that same engine, because there was like three or four different skateboard parties released by the company that the Maple Holdings company bought, called Rat Rod Studios. And they weren't the worst things in the world, but they weren't Tony Hawk Pro Skater level at all. But they were like, you know, the Game Loft representation of that series. Like, they were good enough to be funnish, but not like the real thing at all.
No, those games to me, like they seemed like if you had never played Tony Hawk before and I was like project manager, like explaining to you what the game should be like.
Yeah.
That's yeah, kind of like, how they
well,
see
that's, it. The funny thing is, like, I figured they would just use that same engine for a new Tony Hawk branded game. And that made sense to me. And maybe that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Maybe the engine has gotten better over the years or something like that. But as you found, there was a video showing that the levels in this new, brand new Tony Hawk game were taken directly from Skateboard Party 3 that came out like 2.5 years ago or something like that.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even, it really literally is a reskin and doesn't even have new levels. Which
so
I don't know
if the levels necessarily are like one to one, but the specifically the YouTube video was pointing out like at minimum it's like all the same buildings and textures and stuff like that that might be like rehashed in a way that kind of makes something new.
They are pretty one to one.
Okay.
It is basically the same levels. It's pretty fucked.
And
I think the worst part about this, though, and this is always true of the Skateboard Party games when they were, there was the Mike V versions and then there was a Greg Lutzka branded one later on. But is like they had like all the elements to be a good game. Like I thought the levels were fine. The graphics weren't great, but they did the job. They had like cool missions and stuff like that. I mean, it was a really good facsimile of what a Tony Hawk game should be. It had all the parts. But the game engine and the skating engine was not up to snuff at all. It was super stiff and really hard to pull off tricks like you would in a Tony Hawk game, and let alone string together combos and stuff like that. It was just all like the engine itself was just not up to task.
Dude, it's so bad. Like even just like landing like a simple grind is like, oh, cool. I did it.
Dude, it's painful to play. And right now it's kind of funny. I've been replaying the Tony Hawk 1 and 2 on PlayStation on my PSP, and they're so good still. They're so good, like 20 years later. Even Tony Hawk 1, before there was like manuals and anything like that, is so fun. Like the level design, the mission designs, and the engine just works so well that when you flip over and you play this, it's so shockingly awful that it's almost unplayable. And I don't know. It's just a super shame because I feel like if the engine, I could deal with it being like a reskin of an existing game and whatever, but like if the engine was good enough and it actually played well and was fun, then I'd be fine with all that stuff. But the fact that it doesn't is like, what's the point? Like I have zero desire to play this game or beat the missions or do anything in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's like,
just like a painful experience.
It is shocking how bad this game is. Like, What blows my mind about this is that, like, so when Tony Hawk Shred Sessions was about to be released, Activision flew me out and got to hang out with Tony and see the game in action, and mm-hmm. I was like, damn, like this is a really cool game. I mean, like, it wasn't a full blown Tony Hawk game, but it was like the Tony Hawk game that would make sense on mobile, basically, which was kind of like Temple Run-izing Tony Hawk, in that you were just kind of like endlessly skateboarding down like a street, and you could do all sorts of tricks on the different obstacles and shit like that you came across, which, I mean, it wasn't going to make people happy that wanted like a Tony Hawk 6.
Right.
But if you just wanted to play like a really fun, like little skateboarding game that worked really well on mobile, you play with one hand and all this shit, like it was outstanding.
Yeah.
And that got canceled. But, The weird thing to me about that was like actually doing the interview with Tony, it really seemed to me like the dude understood like what made a good game. And it seemed like he might have played a big part in like the original Tony Hawk games being as good as they were.
Yeah.
And so it's really just very bizarre to imagine Tony Hawk himself having played this game on his phone and being like, oh, hell yeah, this is it. You know, thanks
this
so much
fun.
For making this great game. Like, I'm having such a good time.
Yeah.
Which is extra weird because the dude did, like, all sorts of interviews with everyone but us, it seemed like, where he was just, like, not only talking about how, like, how amazingly fun this game is for him and how much he loves playing it and all this other stuff, but, like, mentioning things that aren't even in the game as like stuff that he likes.
It just seems like that's what tells me that I think for the most part, like, Tony Hawk is pretty genuine dude. And I think that, like, you know, he tries to curb how much his like brand is associated with crappy things, but you can't avoid it, all of it. And this just stinks as like, you know, some sort of deal that was put together by, you know, his manager or something like that, that he probably in his heart of hearts isn't super stoked about, but has to go along with. And I don't think there's any way he can like, this game's like barely playable.
Yeah.
I mean, can't do, even with practice, it's just, the physics are just bad. The engine's just bad. It's hard to pull off tricks. And there's just no way that this is fun for anybody to play.
Yeah.
And so to say that he's playing daily builds and is so psyched at how it's shaping up and blah, 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 it's like, just sounds like total bullshit.
Yeah. Which I don't know. It gets, it's crazy too, because, I mean, like I'm probably one of the idiots that like at least had a decent time playing like Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5, which everyone hated. And like, I thought Tony Hawk Ride, like, you know, it was weird, but like, it was kind of neat. Like, I didn't have the worst time playing it, but even those games, it was like fun to just like, disregarding everything else, just like going in and doing free skates and like, you know, like the older Tony Hawk games, like, you know, when I was younger and had less to do, like, I could spend an entire fucking day in Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 just doing the free skate mode.
I couldn't tell you the amount of hours I put into the demo that came with PlayStation Magazine.
Oh, yeah.
It was like all I did until the game itself actually came out was play the one demo level.
And like, even just like diddling around in this to just like get video of it for the video version of the podcast, like, this is just like not fun.
It's like,
I actively want to stop doing this.
Off. Yeah.
Which,
which like I said, is a shame. And I promise you that there's some smaller developers out there that would easily be able to put together a more solid, you know, skateboarding engine to build a game like this if they are given the opportunity.
Well, shit, so yeah, really, they probably would have done it for free. It'd be like, dude, just give me a rev share, okay, like, you know, put your name on it.
Be able and to like, make it to the young game, yeah. But that's why, and then when you look at the company that owns all these games now on the App Store, and then you look at the fact that this thing is like a reskin of an existing game and that it's still not very good, and you take all those things together, and I hate when people are like, oh, what is this terrible cash grab, blah, 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 because 9 times out of 10, it's just a stupid, that's not really the case, you know what I mean? Even if you're unhappy with how a game came out, rarely is something a cash grab. Even bad games take a lot of time and money and effort to make, but this really feels like a cash grab to me. Like, let's reskin an existing game, throw Tony's name on it, and there you go.
Well, so the most irritating thing to me about this whole thing is that, like, it would be one thing if, you know, like, we just never had a Tony Hawk game on the iPhone or whatever else, and we were just like, all right, well, you know, we're never going to get a Tony Hawk game, so I guess, like, yeah, I'll just deal with this piece of shit. But, like, fact of the matter is, 8 years ago, we had a reasonably decent, I mean, you know, like, the virtual controls were, you know, like, love them or hate them kind of situation, but, like, the Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 iPhone game was pretty damn good.
It was playable and beatable. So it maybe wasn't ideal without buttons, but you could at least adjust, and the game played well. And this game just doesn't.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I would give anything to just have a remastered Tony Hawk 2 over this. I would pay any amount of money.
And like, I thought like the one comment on the review, like, really fucking nailed it. He was like, I don't remember like specifically paraphrasing. It was like, you know, in a way, this is like the perfect mobile game, because like what originally was like this like really groundbreaking thing. Like, remember when Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 came out? It was like, holy shit. Like, I remember when we first saw the YouTube video, it was like, all right, this has to be fake.
Yeah.
You know, like that was the reaction. It was like, this can't be real. Like, you know, surely we're not like, you can't have Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 running on an iPhone. That's just crazy. Right. So, you know, originally you had this like really forward facing, like ultra cool thing that when you came out, like, I remember like, and it kind of comes across in the review that I wrote, is like, I remember being like, God damn, like, this is just like baffling to me to think that, you know, back when I was playing the game on the PlayStation, that you could suggest like, hey dude, you know, in a few years, like, you'll just be playing that on your phone.
Yeah.
To,
it still blows my mind.
Well, I mean, so you go from that to like this like absolute dog shit tier like free to play thing.
Yeah.
And in a way, like that really does kind of nail like the curve of the way the App Store has gone, which is ultra depressing to think about, but it is what it is.
It's really sad. Especially talking about something like 2 is like, I wish you could still get that port, that iPhone port.
Yeah. I mean, even if it, you know, aspect ratio or the, you know, the screen size would be all wacky and stuff, but like be playable.
It'd still play better than this.
Yeah. Infinitely better. So I don't know. I guess if you want to check out Tony Hawk Shred Sessions, Jam Session.
Skate Jam. Wait, what is it called?
Tony Hawk's Jam Session. Okay, yeah. I mean, I guess give it a go. It's free, so all you're doing is wasting your time, I guess. But like, I can't even like this run, I've tried really hard to just like pick up the HAWK and like I can't even do that in the time limit. Like
it's so frustrating and awkward. I almost want to tell people even free, don't even bother.
I mean, I guess I think it's worth checking out just so you can be like, holy shit, like how did Tony Hawk put his name on this?
Yeah.
Or anything else. So I don't know. A lot of bummer news. What game you want to talk about? We probably got run a little long, but we can squeeze in another one.
Well, I've been playing this CrossGrams game, which I like a lot.
All right.
Let's talk about this.
Yeah, sell me on CrossGrams.
We posted the trailer and talked about it on the podcast either last week or the week before. And it's basically a mixture of like Word Scramble and a crosswords sort of setup, and with a little bit of Sudoku too in terms of how you actually figure out how to complete levels or whatever. And so picture like a crossword puzzle. You have, you know, words going up and down, and you have words going left and right, and they intersect. And so what this game does is it gives you basically a filled in crossword puzzle setup, filled in with all the words, but not in order. And so you're only able to move words left and right, but you can reshuffle move letters around. So you can reshuffle the letters around, and your goal is to make actual words out of every spot that's running vertically and horizontally, and basically make a completed crossword puzzle. Much, 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 much more difficult than it seems like it would be. Even like the very beginning, like baby steps free pack of puzzles is like giving me trouble. But it's crazy because it's like, you know, it's not so bad when it's like, you know, three words total or whatever. But even like 4 and 5 start, and when things start to intersect more and more, it's just like the combination of different words that you're able to actually make that are words that make sense, but they're not the correct words for that puzzle, is what totally throws me off. So it's like, I'll be like, oh, okay, this word has to be death. It fits perfectly. It's all the right letters and blah, 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 blah. But maybe it's not. Maybe it's something else. And I just have it wrong. But then you got to kick that out of your head that, okay, death's not the right word. I got to try for something else. I like about this is that
daily puzzle is like, whoa.
So there's a free daily puzzle that everyone plays, and then you can kind of compete against who beats it fastest or whatever. The daily puzzle is instantly like death difficulty. And so there's a lot. It starts out a lot easier if you go into
the free pack. Yeah, I need to just look at the daily puzzle.
Yeah, free starter pack is where. And even here, though, like the first few are not bad, but then they start throwing an extra word or two in there, and it just jumbles up your brain. But I really like it. I think it's a good challenge. It's something you can just stare at and kind of chew on. And the puzzles are timed, but there's not a timer, so you know how quickly you beat it, but there's not like you have to beat it in a certain amount of time. So, I mean, you can just stare at this thing forever. And then it has a really slick kind of like a Sudoku game. You have the ability to, you know, pin a letter in place. And so if you have something that you know is a lock, you can pin them in place and then not have to worry about jumbling those letters around as you kind of move the other letters, you know, to figure out the other words.
God, I can't even imagine the kind of galaxy brain you'd need to solve the bigger puzzles.
The puzzles get crazy big. But it's just so cool, and it's weird because you can shuffle words left and right, but over spaces too. And so it's not like just finding out, you know, within a one set of 6 spaces you know, those exact six letters make that word. It might be take letters from a word that's like several spaces over on the other side of the puzzle. So you never really know where you're at. But I think that's where the biggest Sudoku influence comes in, is because you'll get in certain situations where it's like, okay, well, this has to be this. You know what I mean? Like a T can't go next to an X or whatever. So it has to be, you know, the TE or whatever. And you can kind of use certain words that you know for a fact are right to help you build out the words around it to figure out what those are, sort of in the same way you can with Sudoku. So super duper clever game. And super duper difficult.
God, I don't even. I seriously don't even know where to start on this big one. Like I feel like
you need to go back and start at the beginning and go through the smaller puzzles first. I'm like halfway through the starter pack and it's like already hurts my brain. But
so it looks like the way this game works is it's the puzzle packs are what you buy, right? And you can buy like skins as well, different color themes.
I believe so.
For
yeah.
a buck,
yeah,
and
yeah.
then the individual puzzle packs are also a buck, right?
I'm not sure. I haven't tried to buy any yet, but yeah, they also give you a certain amount of free puzzles for each of the packs.
Yeah.
And
puzzle packs
supposedly
are a buck
there
could
a piece. Be a lot more packs coming out. And
so if you buy everything, buy bucks.
The crazy thing though is like it's almost like a daily crossword in that the daily puzzle is like large and challenging enough that could be all you need for a day is one puzzle. So you don't necessarily have to run out and buy puzzle packs because you're going to run out of things to do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. This game's really cool. I enjoy this, but I know it's going to be too hard for me, so I'm not even going to get involved.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, CrossGrams, check it out. It's probably a very cool puzzle game. If you're into board games, you would really like it. So with that, unless you have like any super insightful parting thoughts, I think we can park the podcast for the week and...
I have nothing insightful to say.
Hope no one steals it next week. let's see. Have you played? Oh, real quick, have you played Super Smash Brothers?
I have.
So, do you want to talk about this real quick?
Sure.
I've come around on this game. So, you remember in Discord, I was like being all emo and kind of annoyed with myself because, like, we mentioned this before. Like, particularly when it comes to like digitally distributed games, where it's just like. Yeah. Oh, Super Smash Brothers is out. It's 11 o'clock on a Thursday. I'm sitting on my couch doing nothing. Like, I'll download this game. Sure, why not? What's $60? Right. Let's go for it. Yeah. And, like, there's just, like, I don't know. Like, if I need to, like, get my car and, like, go buy it from the store, I'd be like, I don't like Super Smash Brothers. I'm not going to do
that. I could live without it, yeah.
You know, but, like when you're just sitting there being like, I don't know, I can just press a button and I have it like magic. Like, why would I not at least give this game a go, right?
Uh-huh.
And I was being like all emo in our Discord, being like, man, I just fucking wasted $60. I don't even know why I bought this game. I don't like Super Smash Brothers. Like, I don't like this one and all this stuff. But like, so I kind of got like bummed enough about that. The next day I was like, no, you know what? I'm going to watch YouTube videos. I'm going to learn how to play this stupid thing.
Yeah.
Cause so many people like it. Like, surely it must be good. And like, I'm on board now. I think you just like, the problem is Super Smash Brothers has like a non-existent tutorial.
It's for as accessible as people call it, it's not accessible whatsoever.
Yeah.
I think it's easier to jump in and play Street Fighter because people know Street Fighter moves.
A million times easier to jump in and play Street Fighter because like all the different like mechanics of like character weight and like the damage system and like the way that like each person has like a different jump pattern and like all this other stuff, like it's so intimidating.
Well, I think the main thing with Smash is focus on like one player solely and learn all of their moves and techniques and mainline them as much as possible. Even if you have a fan favorite that you're waiting to unlock because the unlock system is like a crazy slog, you know, you can move on to that person eventually later, but like really figure out one character at a time, because if you bounce around a lot, I feel like you're putting yourself at a disadvantage because everyone plays so differently and has so many different strategies to use and stuff like that, that if you focus on just one, you can take on a lot of different situations with that, you know, set of knowledge or whatever.
Well, so what I wish someone would have told me, and like, if you are in a similar situation where you're like, I don't know, man, everyone's talking about this game. I've never played Super Smash Bros. Before. I don't know if I'm going to like it. The way that the move system works was like a big thing that originally I was like, God damn it, why did I buy this game? Because, like, you know, I just basically played Street Fighter, and, like, the moves, or Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, I guess, are my two big fighting games that I played throughout my life. And, like, the moves for each character are very different.
Yeah.
You know, like Blanca plays way different than Ryu and stuff like that, and their move list is completely different. And I'm just like, God fucking damn, there's 72 dudes in this game, and I need to, like, figure out, like, the move patterns for each one. But, like, that's not the case at all, because, like, the moves... And maybe this is, like, the genius of Super Smash Brothers that I just didn't realize until I started playing, is that the moves are standard across every guy.
Yeah.
So, basically, every character, like, you can jump, you can do a normal attack, and you can do a special attack, and be a special attack by default. And each character has four moves that, like, whatever, when you hit B just by itself, or B plus up, usually does some kind of, like, jumping ability. B plus down usually is like some kind of either counter or like a slam ability. And then B plus either right or left direction is usually like a charge or a throw or some kind of thing like that. So like once you realize like how actually simple the controls are, you can kind of like start experimenting with characters a lot and like figuring out like who you like and things like that, which...
I like. I mean, it doesn't require like memorizing a bunch of button inputs.
Right, right. That's what's really cool to be able to.
It's more about memorizing what moves do what in which situations.
Right. It was just neat. Like once I kind of like figured that out, being like, oh damn, this is actually like really clever because I can like hop around to different guys and not need to be like, oh shit, like how do you do the dragon punch again? Like let me look at like is it different from like you know the other character's fireball or whatever else? So. I thought that was pretty neat, but it is absolutely baffling to me that, like, why on first launch there isn't something that's like, hey, have you played a Super Smash Bros. Game before? No? Okay, cool. Like, here's Mario. Okay, yeah, like, here's, like, you know, here's how the special move system works. Here's how you throw a guy.
Well, it's dumb because it has all that info if you go seeking it out. It just doesn't present it to you very well.
Yeah, no, not, like, you
know. I mean, it has, like, full videos of how to do, like, everything in it and stuff. Which would be a great sort of like tutorial.
It's just, but, I don't know. Like, maybe I'm just too used to mobile games where it's like, yeah, of course there's a tutorial in this. Like, why wouldn't there be? Like, I think a lot of my original bummer came from like just loading it up and being like, all right, so all I do is like fight now. Like, there's not like it's not going to like teach me how to do this or whatever else. So, Super Smash Brothers, really good. I've turned a corner. I understand how to play now and I am enjoying it. So, there's that. With that, I really appreciate you sticking through to the end of the podcast. If you got any questions, comments, concerns, pumpkin pie recipes that can be paired with Brawl Stars articles, our email address is podcast@toucharcade.com. Or you can always just tweet at us @toucharcade. Jared and I both keep an eye on that. So, and again, if you like the show, want to support us, we'd really appreciate if you either check out our Patreon at patreon.com/toucharcade. Or do your Amazon shopping through toucharcade.com/Amazon. So we get an affiliate cut of whatever you buy. With that, thank you very much for listening, and we'll catch you next week on another episode of the Touch Arcade Show.